or radio, 88.37 FM.
Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we mourn the death, 45 years ago, of three Soviet cosmonauts aboard Soyuz 11.
The Space Show. More than just rocket science, we look at innovations, business practices and practical applications of space at 7 p.m. every Wednesday.
And we're now going to begin our item about Soyuz 11. And we begin with a piece of music composed to mourn the three cosmonauts who died on Soyuz 11. We'll explain after this. Was music by Carl Presser about Soyuz 11. The first space station in the whole world was Salyut 1, and it was launched in 1971, April the 19th. Then on April the 23rd, just about 4 days later, Soyuz 10 was launched on a mission which was intended to dock with the Salyut 1 and for the cosmonauts to go on board. However, when they approached the station, they were unable to get a firm dock with it, and so on April the 25th they returned to Earth, not having boarded the station. Then on June the 6th, 1971, Soyuz 11 was launched with three cosmonauts. They were Georgi Dobrovolsky, Vladislav Volkov, and Viktor Patsayev. They were able to dock with Salyut 1, go on board, and they lived there until June the 29th. And then they began to make their re-entry. And, unfortunately, a valve leaked and they died during the re-entry. They weren't wearing spacesuits, which by that time had become common in the Soviet program. And yes, they just died. So when they landed, it all appeared well. The craft, of course, landed automatically, and the ground crew went to look inside, and the cosmonauts were lying inside their capsule dead. They attempted to resuscitate them, but to no avail. And we have this little feature here about the incident.
Soyuz 11. The three-member crew of the Soyuz 11 died on June 30th, 1971, while attempting to re-enter Earth's atmosphere. When their cabin became depressurized, the three cosmonauts, Georgi Dobrovolsky, Vladislav Volkov, and Viktor Patsayev, all suffocated to death. They hold the distinction of being the only three people to die in space. Their mission had been to board the world's first space station, Salyut 1. They did that successfully and stayed for 22 days, performing tasks such as replacing a ventilation system, holding a live TV broadcast, and even had plans to observe a rocket launch, a plan that had to be postponed. On June 30th, everything appeared to be going fine, but after re-entering Earth's atmosphere and a seemingly successful landing in the Soviet Union, officials opened the capsule door to find all three men sitting motionless. They were bleeding from their ears and noses, and appeared to have blue marks all over their faces. Doctors determined that the crew had suffocated to death. When a ventilation valve accidentally jolted open, it caused the pressure equalization seal to loosen. This was the seal that kept the required amount of pressure in the cabin. Once the cabin lost its pressure, it's likely that the cosmonauts died within seconds. The state-controlled Soviet media did not release details of the cause of death for nearly 2 years after the tragedy. However, there was a memorial placed at the spot where the capsule landed, and a group of hills on Pluto has been named Soyuz Kolos in their honor. Despite being in the midst of the Cold War with the United States, U.S. President Richard Nixon released a statement expressing his condolences to the Soviet Union.
Well, that crew, Soyuz 11, set a world record for duration in space. It was 23 days. That record stood for some time, until broken by the, I think it was the Skylab crews. Now, So that raises the question, well, if that record was set then, 1971, what's happened since? Well, here are the longest duration space flights ever. The longest stay in space has been 437.7 days. That was by Valery Polyakov from Russia, and he was launched aboard Soyuz TM-18, stayed aboard the Mir space station, and landed on Soyuz TM-20 from 1994 January the 9th until 1995 March the 22nd. The second duration record holder is 379 days. That's Sergei Avdeyev from Russia, launched Soyuz TM-28, lived aboard Mir and landed on Soyuz TM-29 from 1998 August the 13th to 1999 August the 28th. Next in the record stakes, jointly held by Vladimir Titov and Musa Manarov from the Soviet Union, 365.0 days. That was Soyuz TM-4, launch, stayed aboard the Mir space station, landed on Soyuz TM-6 from 1987 December the 21st to 1988 December the 21st. Next up, 340.4 days, the so-called one-year crew, which wasn't 1 year, it was 340 days. That was Mikhail Kornienko and Scott Kelly. They were launched on Soyuz TMA-16M, lived aboard the International Space Station last year and into this year, and then landed on Soyuz TMA-18M. And going down the next down in the list is 326 days by Yuri Romanenko from the Soviet Union, 1987 February the 5th to 1987 December the 29th. So there we have some of the duration records, that the first one that we mentioned being set by the ill-fated crew of Soyuz 11. Well, the space station is up there right now, and there's a crew preparing to return back to Earth. One of the crew is the first European Space Agency United Kingdom astronaut. His name is Tim Peake, and we're going to have a feature about him in just a moment. Tim was not the first British person to go into space. Helen Sharman, I think, was the first one. She was launched as a sponsored trip by the Mars Chocolate Company. But Tim Peake was the first European Space Agency astronaut. And we'll go with that now, I think. This European Space Agency feature about Tim Peake's flight.
Tim Peake, ESA's first British astronaut, will soon be returning to Earth after a six-month stay on board the International Space Station. His mission, which is called Principia, has been extended by a few days to allow replacement crew members to arrive, which means more time for research and enjoying the spectacular views of Earth. Prior to his flight, Tim Peake spent around 6 years training with the station's international partners, moving between Europe, Japan, North America, and Russia. It's a tried-and-tested program, which allows ESA astronauts to practice each stage of their missions before leaving Earth. On December the 15th, 2015, launch day finally arrived. Together with crewmates Tim Kopra from NASA and Russian cosmonaut Yuri Malenchenko, he boarded the Soyuz capsule at the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. Just 6 hours later, they docked with the 400-ton International Space Station, 400 kilometers above the Earth. Tim Peake's long-awaited life in orbit had begun. The coming months would see much of his time spent on scientific experiments in disciplines such as fluid physics, human physiology, and material science. The ISS provides unique conditions that can't be replicated on Earth. As flight engineer, Tim Peake has also shared responsibility for the day-to-day running of the station. Tasks have ranged from maintaining and repairing equipment to vacuuming, a very important chore in such a controlled environment. Hardware, experiments, and food have arrived on board unmanned cargo vessels such as the SpaceX Dragon, which Peake berthed using the station's robotic arm. As always, there's also been maintenance to do outside the ISS. As well as providing support for crewmates during extravehicular activities, or EVAs, Tim Peake had the opportunity to venture outside himself. On January the 15th, he carried out a spacewalk with Tim Kopra lasting over 4.5 hours. Working in the shadow of the Earth to avoid dangerous sparks, they replaced a failed power regulator and installed new cabling.
So once the gyroscope is spinning, you can just see...
Throughout the Principia mission, Peake has been keen to share his experience with the next generation of scientists and astronauts, conducting a variety of lessons and workshops from space. He even managed to take part in the London Marathon, using a treadmill and a special harness in the Tranquility Node. He finished the 42-kilometer race in just over 3.5 hours, during which time the ISS traveled almost 100,000 kilometers. And as part of preparations for future missions to the Moon and beyond, on April the 29th, he attempted to remotely steer a robot called Bridget across a simulated Mars landscape in Stevenage, England. Developed by ESOC, ESA's Operations Center, the blackout-tolerant control system was a success. After a highly intense and successful first mission, it'll soon be time for Tim Peake to board the Soyuz capsule and begin his descent to Earth, bringing an end to ESA's 8th long-duration stay on board the ISS.
And that descent will happen on June the 18th. So June 18, Tim Peake comes down, and then it'll be a few weeks later that they launch the replacement crew. At the moment, there are 6 people aboard the space station, and there will be, when Tim and his crewmates come down, there'll be 3 aboard, and then they'll be back up to the normal complement of 6 cosmonauts, astronauts aboard the International Space Station. Now, a few days ago, Tim Peake described his experiences aboard the space station.
We always talk about seeing the view of planet Earth and how beautiful it is, and being able to go to the cupola and look at that amazing view of planet Earth. But what people don't mention that much is just when you look the opposite direction and you see how dark space is. I mean, it's the blackest black, and you realise just how small the Earth is in that blackness. And that was a real surprise to me. The feeling of zero gravity is a bit like the first time I put on a pair of skis and tried to go skiing. It does take a while to become proficient, and it also takes a while to get orientated, but it's amazing how quickly your brain really adapts to that. I've been amazed at how quickly the body has adapted. You do feel disorientated and dizzy, but on my second morning, I woke up feeling fresh, ready to go to work, and have had no problems since. The view of planet Earth is just spectacular. Day, night, auroras, thunderstorms, it's just incredible. We spend almost every free moment that we have looking out the window and taking photographs. We're kept very busy during the day, of course, but in the evenings we get some free time. But our daily routine is really working from about 7 in the morning till 7 at night, and it's mainly scientific activities here on board the space station. There are a couple of things that have really struck me. First is just how thin our atmosphere is. And I kind of knew that from seeing photographs of other astronauts, but to actually see it yourself, and especially at sunrise and at sunset. And of course, we orbit the Earth 16 times a day, so we get plenty of sunrises and sunsets. And you can see that tiny, tiny band of which our atmosphere is contained in and how fragile our atmosphere is. That was really quite incredible to see with my own eyes. I was very fortunate to do a spacewalk about 3 weeks ago with my crewmate Tim Kopra from NASA, and we had to go and repair an electrical component right at the very edge of the space station, the furthest part of the space station, and that was absolutely incredible. We had to repair it during the eclipse because the power from the sun, obviously, coming through the solar panels, we had to make sure we were in the shadow before we could repair that component, and we got an opportunity to wait for the sun to go down and to take some photographs and enjoy the view of planet Earth. I was just very happy, very comfortable outside. And it also, it felt quite peaceful. It felt quite calm working out there. It was really the most incredible experience of my life, being outside the space station in a spacesuit. We will be doing about 250 experiments during this six-month stay in space. To give you an example, a couple of weeks ago, Tim Kopra, my NASA counterpart, and myself, we were in the airlock, and we were using the airlock as a hyperbaric chamber, taking it to a reduced pressure so that we could investigate the lungs and nitric oxide as an indicator of airway inflammation. And this is going to have benefit for people who suffer from asthma, for example, on Earth. Last week, we were looking at combustion techniques and actually lighting fires on board the space station, which sounds a bit remarkable, but all in a very controlled environment. But the serious side of that is to try and find better combustion techniques for back on Earth, again, for cleaner engines and more efficient engine systems. All of these research experiments we do have knock-on impacts and benefits for people back on Earth, as well as helping us to progress further in our exploration of the solar system. I've been trying to share this mission as much as possible with everybody back on Earth. I think it's our responsibility as astronauts to do that. I just wish that I could bring everybody up on board here to look at planet Earth and to see it through our eyes. It's just the most beautiful place I can imagine, and it really brings it home how we need to look after each other and how we need to look after our planet.
Well, if you didn't gather it from the accent, that was British astronaut Tim Peake, member of the European Space Agency's Cosmo-Astronaut Corps. And interesting to note that aboard the International Space Station, the astronauts have inflated the Bigelow expandable module, and are now kitting out instrumentation and so on that is going to monitor radiation, air pollution levels and things like that inside the station. So watch out for more news about the International Space Station and the flights to it. Well, we're going to hear now from Abel Archer, and here's a song about the Soyuz 11 mission.
It seems like these so magical. You cannot speak when you remember all the things that you love, and it's the power.
pastures to dwell on all the myriad possibilities for things to go wrong. Cause you can never believe that something tragic is approaching, though it's already gone. So is it better not to know? Would you rather make believe that it can still be undone? Say dream about. The moon is glorious, the nebulae mysterious, but she is who you're dreaming of now. And did you ever believe you'd be a hero like the ones you cherished when you were young? Cause in a moment a mistake will escalate and all the dreams you had will soon be undone. Say
нормально.